Podcasts from around the world.
Hello and welcome to our monthly podcast from around the region, where we'll be exploring our clients, work and amazing people, as well as any important news. We'll try and keep these to about 15 minutes, perfect for a quick break or a commute. Please also use the question button below to send in your questions about anything. I won't be able to answer all of them, but I will do as many as I can. So today, it's a monumental time for us at Weber Shamik, and I'm here at Weber Shamik's HQ in New York with Randa Stefan, the mastermind behind our monumental rebrand. This month, you would have seen the start of the rollout of our new brand, proposition and assets. So I wanted to delve a little deeper into what all this means for us and our clients. So Randa, hello.
Hello.
So first of all, I've just described you as a mastermind, an evil mastermind.
I know, mastermind. That's very scary. I know. It could be very positive or negative.
It could be. I like mastermind kind of genius kind of thing.
I'll go with that.
You'll take it.
That's on brand for me.
But do you just want to just explain briefly what your role at Weber is, but also what your role in our new rebrand is?
Yes. So my current role at Weber is head of global marketing and brand, which means essentially, I'm the steward of our agency brand. So that means I help define and oversee all of the ways that we go to market, how we talk about the type of company we are and what we do, and how we position new products and services, and really how we can show up in new places and spaces to help drive growth and attract talent. And the construct of these past 2 years have really been the driver of this rebrand, this brand architecture exercise, the service architecture exercise. And in doing that, have been able to partner with a lot of amazing teams across the network, from comms to client experience to biz dev to HR, across all of our regions and agencies. So it's been a lot of fun.
But particularly in EMEA, the brilliant
100%
people.
100% in yeah. EMEA. I mean, none of this would have happened without EMEA.
Good. I just wanted to clarify that, make sure everyone knew that.
For all of those listening.
So why change? Why now? So you said that it's been a kind of a couple of years evolution and going through this process. So why are we doing this?
So there's a short answer and a long answer. So the short answer is, for the past few years, obviously, even as we live through it today, the world is full of a lot of complexity, and we are uniquely built to help our clients navigate that, but we needed to be more clear and consistent about the way that we told that story around the world in a way that sort of meets this modern moment. The longer answer is coming out of the past few years and going through all of the cumulative crises that seem to be never ending. We've talked a lot about how our clients' priorities are shifting, how they're figuring out how to navigate really nuanced issues, whether that's, you know, climate or DE&I or employee activism or geopolitics or the metaverse or misinformation or new modern platforms, all of these things. And what we wanted to do was really double down on how effective communications is really the unlock to brand building and business strategy, right? It's how you connect with people, how you make them understand your point of view, how you add value. So communications is really the currency of change and leadership. And we wanted to be even more leading and affirmative of that point of view. So the timing behind the entire initiative was really to reinforce that we have the credentials and the breadth and depth of expertise for our clients. I think also our own teams, especially all of our new employees around the world, were really yearning for a consistent understanding or a North Star in terms of the type of company we are, what we do, and why it matters, and how all of our different agency brands come together to form this really powerful offering. So all of those factors sort of initiated this process.
So in one line, what are we? What are we called? Who are we? What do we do?
Oh my gosh. So we are Weber Shandwick, but we also, through this exercise, formed and formally named our ecosystem of brands to be the Weber Shandwick Collective. The Weber Shandwick Collective is the strategic communications and consulting network. Gail talks a lot about how it is sort of the world's earned first leading network, whereas a lot of times when we think about networks in our industry, they tend to be sort of ad-led or creative-led. And those words are really important. So it was important for us to nod towards our heritage in comms. And when we say comms, we mean, you know, comms with a capital C. Everything is communications, whether it's social, whether it's advertising, whether it's public relations. The consulting word is also really important because that is where we see our continued growth and aspiration as a network of agencies. So getting those elevated assignments, those consultative assignments, it was important for us to include that word in the positioning language so that we nodded to our core and current business, but also where our future growth is coming from.
And I think, I love what there's a couple of things that I love what you said, that the first one is around comms and the fact that everything is comms. And
everything.
I definitely, one of my ambitions, anyone who's heard me bang on about the future ambitions for this region and also globally, it's about driving more integrated work, about not being stuck in the media relations PR lane only, although, of course, fantastically important to what we do, but actually having breadth across all of the communications landscape. How do you communicate to an audience? And if we've got to create TV ads, we'll create TV ads. We already are creating TV ads and everything else. And then the consulting bit, again, is so important. I've been here just over 6 months, and one of the amazing things about the place is the sheer level of intense expertise that we've got. We have some extraordinary talent doing some amazing work. And I think being able to elevate that further, to be more consultative, and also, frankly, to charge more for what it's worth because it is up there, is going to be really important. So we've got the Weber Shandwick Collective branding and ecosystem we talked about. Just talk about Weber Shandwick at its core, what Weber Shandwick as part of that is going to be known at and its positioning.
Right. So Weber Shandwick is still sort of what we call the hero brand in the brand architecture. It anchors the collective. It powers the collective. It is an important brand with a lot of equity, which is why we used it as the namesake for the collective. Like, we didn't want to just create a brand new name at the top of the house. Weber Shandwick is the in-culture communications agency. So again, important for us to acknowledge what we do, what we are known for, but also how we uniquely do it differently. In terms of the in-culture communications agency is the type of company we are. What we do is made to make brave ideas connect with people. And there's been a lot of sort of conversation, and I can't wait for this conversation to continue about what does in-culture mean? What do we mean by brave ideas? What are brave ideas? What are not brave ideas? And all of those are really good conversations to have. And we will, throughout the course of this launch, continue to articulate it and define it and bring it to life for not only our teams, but our clients in the industry as well.
Yeah, and I've had many a conversation with you about brave and what brave means and is it a good or bad word? But we won't go into that now. But on in culture, what do we mean by in culture? And I appreciate, and I think it's really important that it will kind of evolve, and it's good that it's a conversation point. But what's our baseline? What's our starting point?
Yeah. So I will say also, just before I define in culture, which I will do, I'm not going to hedge the question. The other thing that I want our teams to understand is we spend so much time deciding on what words we're going to use. And the words are very important because they are a North Star. But I want also our teams to understand that what truly matters is the transformation and the products and services and the methodologies that we build off of the words, because we can use whatever words we want, but the products and services and the solutions that we create for our clients make those words believable or not. So that, I think, I want everyone to realize that this positioning language isn't the end of the journey. It is the foundation of the journey. But in terms of what we mean by in culture, this is a really important distinction that we will, again, continue to elaborate on throughout the launch, because obviously a lot of agencies talk about culture and a lot of people have always talked about culture, how they study culture, how they can help brands try to leverage it or sort of attach themselves to these opportunistic moments that are fleeting in nature. And culture is also like very hard to define. It's everything. It's everywhere. It's how we identify ourselves. It's how we gather. It's how we make connections. So put very simply, if you think of culture as like the it or the what, then in culture is the how. And a lot of what we went into this exercise trying to solve is, if you think back to our previous positioning of We Solve, people loved it because it was like, oh, we solve. But then the next question was always, well, how do we solve? And how do we solve differently? And in culture communications is really how we solve. In culture communications is the art and science of shaping and propelling culture by understanding and really inhabiting all the places where media and policy and technology and society and all of those intersections that we've always talked about converge. So this gives us an ability, again, by virtue of who we are and the expertise that we all know lives in the agency, to not just help our clients be culturally relevant, but to actually add some sort of meaningful and sustainable value to culture. And in that way, we get to, you know, our value prop, which is a set of words, which is in culture communications, can help brands, businesses, and organizations grow by enhancing reputation, relevance, and resilience. And those are really the three things we offer to clients. But if you want to think about it really simply, culture is the it. In culture is how we solve.
And I think the understanding more and more about how and what we do is going to be really important. So Weber Shandwick is based on and built off a PR agency, a media relations agency, mm-hmm. but it's so much more than that. It's so broader than that. And although we will always be the Earned First Network, which I think is a great descriptor, being able, as we said before, to deliver a whole suite of actions and executions for our clients is going to be really important. So I suppose this gives us a jumping off point, which isn't media relations. It's a jumping mm-hmm. off point of helping our clients, and then yep. we will solve the issues and help them in whichever way we need to.
Yeah. I mean, so much of this, going back to the why now, was, if we think about it in strictly marketing terms, this is a future proofing and a perception shift assignment. So yes, we are known as a PR and comms agency in the marketplace, but we have been building this integrated set of solutions for years. But in order to convince people of that, we have to be really specific and consistent globally on regarding how we tell that story. And I hope that this exercise provides the tools to begin to do that.
So the impacts on our clients, it sounds like ideally it's going to be much easier for our clients to understand what we can do for them. But what do we hope that impacts, and how broad is that impact going to be for our clients?
You know, there's a lot of parts to this, and there's, you know, the new visual identity and the, you know, the brand architecture. I hope that for our clients, it becomes much easier to understand the ways that we can help them solve communications and cultural and marketing problems. It should, at the end of the day, and maybe this sounds too crass, but it should become easier to buy Weber Shandwick. And it should also allow us to talk about what we do and the services that we have instead of these like laundry lists of, you know, sets of expertise. Very simple core services, core industry expertise that helps us elevate the conversation to more senior clients with more influence and buying power. So over time, that helps us because obviously that helps us grow our business, but it also helps our clients because we're helping them solve more critical issues and challenges and creative opportunities than we have previously.
And what do you need from us? In your favorite region in the world, in the best region in the world.
In my favorite region. Well, it does include the Middle East, and I am Palestinian. So it is very close
to
my
heart.
It really
is your favorite.
it is really, truly my favorite. I would say, you know, this has been such an interesting exercise for me. I was a psychology major in college. That's a fun fact.
I didn't know that, which worries me. I'm going to stop talking to you because you're going to be constantly
I've been analyzing you
me.
This whole time.
Oh, wow.
So I would say the very simple answer in terms of what I'm hoping EMEA can do is adopt and advocate. And one of the principles that we set out at the very beginning of this exercise, which I absolutely love, which I will also is disagree and commit, right? So we're introducing a lot of stuff into the marketplace. Not everything is perfect. Not everything is perfect for every situation or every client. And that's okay. The point is, it is a foundation. It is a common thread for all of us to rally around. So I really hope in EMEA, but across all of our regions, that we adopt and embrace this new way forward and we advocate for it. And if there are things that we disagree with, that's okay, but just commit and move forward sort of for the benefit of the greater good. I will also say, you know, when I talk about disagree and commit, I will also invoke Tom Beckman, who said, that's also great advice for marriage. And I was like, yes, it is, Tom. So life advice from Tom Beckman, which surprises nobody. But I think This is a really big deal, and this is a really exciting moment. It's the first time ever that we've had global positioning, a global service architecture, this new visual identity, a huge new employee population that wants to understand who we are and why we're different and why that even matters. So it's a big deal, again, that is the foundation for continued transformation. So I hope everyone gets on board, gets excited, and then just commits to the things that they're less excited about.
Well, it is great and it looks great. And as I've seen it evolve since I've been here, particularly visually and with the brand and the logo and the way that it's being used in the assets, I think it's getting more and more exciting. So
it is. I think it's super stunning and it's a fresh look and I'm really excited about it.
And well done. Because I have also, you know, been on this journey with you just for the last couple of months, and it's been a hell of a journey. And
it's been quite a ride.
And now you can probably get some sleep for a little bit.
I would like a very wonderful nap. That would be great.
Well, thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate it. If anyone is listening, you've got any questions, any thoughts or comments, then please do reach out to either your market lead, myself, or Randa, and we will take a look at it. So thanks very much, and thank you.
Thank you.
Podcasts from around the world.